Fullerton Investment Views, Quarterly Report, Q2 2026. Keep calm and carry on. Our bullish outlook under the four R's. Executive Summary. The war in the Middle East is a significant shock and has dominated investors' fears over the last couple of months. We still have no clarity on when the war will end, and bouts of high volatility could strike back at any time. Nevertheless, Fullerton will keep calm and carry on with a bullish outlook for the year ahead under our 4Rs investment thematic, as we see many favourable signposts across global markets. Fullerton assesses that the underlying drivers of strong earnings growth will not be derailed because the equity sell-off has been very mild, considering the intensity of the war and how reliant many countries are on imported energy. Global exceptionalism can be sustained as across most markets, earnings growth expectations continue to be revised up, and valuations have fallen from peaks, which can collectively drive higher investment returns. Throughout this war, the market has always expected oil prices to fall back over time, and this downward-sloping futures curve is a very positive belief that the global economy can avoid any painful collapse in demand. Fullerton's analysis suggests that the most productive countries and those with adaptable energy supply chains should continue to navigate this war-driven adverse supply shock very well. The US, Germany, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, and Singapore all have fundamental strengths that can help them defend growth and avoid stagflation. Additional dry powder for investing, which can contribute to higher returns, can stem from very strong balance sheets across households and firms, and from ongoing policy stimulus across the G4 countries. Combined with investors' risk appetite holding up as we have seen, it continues to support the first of our 4Rs thematic, where returns on capital can be high. The signal from Fullerton's investment environment model is maturing into late cycle, but Goldilocks is also rising back in its probability. This can be a win-win for investors because returns can be very favourable under either regime. For the next 12 months, Fullerton is bullish on global risk assets driven by Asia, that is Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan and China, and developed market, that is US, Japan and Germany, equities, with a positive outlook for fixed income returns. Section 1. Investment Environment and Risk Asset Outlook. On April 21, 2026, President Trump announced that the US would extend the ceasefire and maintain the economic pressure on Iran with the US Navy's blockade of Iran's seaborne trade flows. President Trump then stated that Iran's latest peace deal offering was not acceptable, without elaborating on its details. That leaves both sides of the two-month-old war in the Middle East in a holding pattern while the Strait of Hormuz remains effectively shut. The war in the Middle East is a significant shock and has driven fear across markets. Fullerton will keep calm and carry on, with a bullish outlook for the year ahead. The war in the Middle East is a significant shock and has driven fear across markets. We have no clarity on when the war will end, and bouts of high volatility could strike back at any time. Nevertheless, Fullerton will keep calm and carry on, with a bullish outlook for the year ahead, as we see many favourable signposts for investors. First and foremost, Fullerton believes that the underlying drivers of strong earnings growth will not be overturned because productivity remains strong. Higher inflation is expected to be temporary because of the outlook for oil prices, and the equity sell-off has been very mild considering the intensity of the war. The drivers of global exceptionalism that we have emphasized since last year can continue as earnings growth expectations push higher and as valuations have fallen back from peaks, which can collectively support higher asset returns. Even as geopolitical fears surged on February 28, 2026, the start of the war in the Middle East ranks as the worst act since the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on the US investors can take significant comfort in that the fear index, that is the S&P 500 VIX, has fallen back sharply toward normality. Fullerton does not believe the market is mistakenly pricing in a swift end to the war in the Middle East. Rather, the market is sanguine because of favorable fundamentals. Throughout this war, the market has always expected oil prices to fall back over time, and this downward-sloping futures curve is a very positive belief that the global economy can avoid any painful collapse in demand. Many commentators, notably the IEA, have said that the war in the Middle East is the largest energy crisis in history. But in terms of its pricing impacts that ultimately matter the most to global economic activity and financial markets, it is far from being that painful. The first half of 2008, with a peak by July, is the worst oil shock in history, as extremely strong energy demand resulted in oil prices soaring to $150 per barrel, which is $200 per barrel in today's money. What also made the 2008 shock much worse was that the forward-looking market never expected oil prices to ever fall back down. With extremely high oil prices and no price relief expected, events certainly contributed to the very painful global recession of 2008. In stark contrast, the forward-looking profile for oil prices today is not that much different from a couple of years ago, especially at horizons beyond 6 months, which is very positive for economic activity. Longer-term oil prices cannot be too low, otherwise the strong economic motivation to diversify more toward cleaner energy will stall. There are many reasons not to be pessimistic about the investment environment. Some investors push back and suggest that the market is mistakenly pricing in a swift ending to the war in the Middle East, but that seems unlikely simply because no one has any idea when the hostilities will be resolved. Instead, the market may be sustaining its positive outlook because of the following seven key developments. 1. There is much greater efficiencies in the use of global energy than in the past, along with the rising importance of cleaner energy demand. 2. Global oil supply growth was much stronger than demand growth before the Middle East war started. 3. Middle East exports over March 2026 did not fall by as much as many feared, because Oman, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates can bypass the Strait of Hormuz via pipelines and ports. For example, Saudi Arabia, the largest oil exporter in the world, suffered a moderate fall in exports during March of 1.5 million barrels per day compared to March 2025. While maintaining its production at typical levels, around 9 million barrels per day. 4. US total energy product exports have been very strong, as at 23rd April 2026, they are 2.9 million barrels per day higher than a year ago, which is much greater than the fall in exports from Saudi Arabia. The US is likely to have shifted to become the second largest oil exporter in the world, passing Russia, while maintaining its spot as the most significant global exporter of LNG. LNG supply is especially important for Asia, and in that regard, some key events since the war in the Middle East began have been positive for markets and investors, for example. Oh, the US has been the dominant driver of boosting global LNG capacity, and buying LNG from the US could give favorable and below Asia benchmark prices, because the opportunity cost for a US supplier not to export is very high. Oh, as a significant sign of strength, Singapore pledged that it will not ration any of its energy exports. Singapore also signed a protocol on economic resilience and essential supplies with Australia to keep the two-way energy trade flowing. 5. The threat of significant spillover effects into generalized inflation is much less than the past, and especially much less than the painful stagflation of 2022, because money growth today is much weaker. The prospect that high inflation, driven by oil and gas prices, proves temporary is also supported by inflation expectations across the US bond market, that its key metrics have understandably jumped to 3 to 3.5% per annum, along with the inflation now cast. But 1 year, 1 year, and 2 years, 2 years, forward expectations remain anchored around 2.5% per annum. 6. The war in the Middle East still remains an energy-centric shock, and there is limited adverse spillover impacts into other key commodities, especially agriculture prices, nor any significant supply chain stress so far. Unlike the very painful global stagflation shock of 2022, global supply chains are now much more flexible and entered this war scenario with very low stress hurdles and bottlenecks. 7. Lastly, because around 80% of global energy seaborne flows never transit the Strait of Hormuz and are busier than ever. Aside from driving a boon for US energy exporters, it has also proved beneficial for major Asian refiners, especially across South Korea, Japan, Thailand, Taiwan, and Singapore, as they have been buying significantly more US crude since last year to further diversify feedstock suppliers and to improve margins. With this war in the Middle East, investors have been very well rewarded, YTD, with strong alpha gains from exposure to energy sector equities across Japan, China, and the US. In summary, Fullerton's analysis suggests that the most productive countries and those with adaptable energy supply chains should continue to navigate this war-driven adverse supply shock very well. The US, Germany, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, and Singapore all have fundamental strengths that can help them defend growth and avoid stagflation. Additional dry powder for investing, which can contribute to higher returns, can stem from very strong balance sheets across households and firms and from ongoing policy stimulus from China, Germany, the US, and Japan. A key concern for investors is the risk that stress across private markets, especially private credit, could drive a crash in public markets. Fullerton is watching signposts across private markets, especially private credit conditions, very closely. In terms of investment returns, private markets may be past the worst, but could still lag public markets. For example, McKinsey has noted that conditions are likely to remain uneven. Deal-making has been tepid, while fundraising across all asset classes hit its lowest levels in almost a decade last year. Fullerton's assessment aligns with that from the IMF. Private markets, especially private credit, may become an amplifier of shocks because of tight bank/non-bank linkages, but not a channel for systemic stress. Bouts of high volatility could strike back at any time, so active management remains critical to defend gains. Just like Liberation Day last year, events continue to be disruptive to global investor confidence, but they have not derailed the bullish investment environment. Furthermore, many events may actually enhance global exceptionalism by building diversification beyond US risk assets and creating new investment opportunities. Fullerton has shown evidence before that when geopolitical shocks hit, any adverse impacts can be limited, or in the worst case, temporary disruptions, before markets return to underlying trends. The optimal way to navigate all potential stresses remains active management of a well-diversified portfolio and to seek downside protection when risks hit. Fullerton's global factors that drive investment returns are bullish. Global growth and liquidity, led by the US and China, remain the strongest above trend for this cycle. Global growth is very strong and its latest push higher to more than one standard deviation above average growth has been driven by the surge in global exports. At the same time, global inflation is below trend, but we know it is going to jump significantly because of the surge in oil prices. The investment environment can remain bullish for investors as long as global growth remains strong, with risk appetite being solidly positive and with inflation being contained. That is, high inflation should fall back with ongoing productivity gains and as the spike in oil prices eventually corrects. Nominal GDP growth, which tends to have a solid correlation with corporate earnings performance, is tracking at least 4-5% per annum for most countries. Growth in global manufacturing is holding around its trend, while growth in global trade has had a massive surge, driven mostly by Asia. Outside of the pre-buying distortion around the COVID-driven recession, global trade growth into 2026 is its strongest since 2010. This extreme growth in global exports will not be sustained into the second half of 2026, but nevertheless, growth is likely to fall back and settle above trend because the demand from DM, coupled with intra-Asia trade, has shifted to a higher gear with the IT and investment boom. Since the war in the Middle East began, significant downward pressures on global growth have not emerged, as daily economic activity data have generally surprised consensus expectations on the upside, ex-Europe. This should continue to reduce the risk of stagflation and provide a helpful cushion for earnings growth across key markets going forward. Money and liquidity growth, along with bank loans in the US, remains consistent with strong economic activity and spending across key countries. However, because of some possible crowding out from the strength of the Main Street economy, there may be less than otherwise excess liquidity for risk-taking. All that said, as we have emphasized for a while, there may still be significant supports from additional dry powder for investing given very strong balance sheets across households and firms, and from ongoing policy stimulus across the G4 countries. When we combine the four global macro factors together, Fullerton's investment regime indicator is maturing into late cycle. But Goldilocks is also rising back in its probability. This can be a win-win for investors because returns can be very favourable under either regime. For the 12 months ahead, Fullerton is bullish on global risk assets driven by Asia and DM equities, with a positive outlook for fixed income returns. Section 2. Equities. The worst is likely past, and global exceptionalism and bullishness are back on track. Investor flows and sentiment have been risk-on since the end of March, and almost all equity markets have gained back the losses associated with stagflation fears surrounding the war in the Middle East. Even with some possible slippage from the adverse impacts of the war in the Middle East, Fullerton believes that global GDP and earnings growth should remain strong. The US can lead DM with earnings growth reaching around 20% per annum in 2026, while Asia ex-Japan is tracking 50% per annum, driven by large contributions from South Korea, Taiwan, and China. Given our regular global investment themes, it is critical for investors to appreciate that finding alpha will not be solely about US exceptionalism. Firms rising to the top of their peer group will be driven by productivity-enhanced earnings, rising investment, and sustained demand. These creative leaders will be found across many different sectors and countries. Most importantly, the leading sources of alpha by sector so far this year continue to align very well with many of Fullerton's investment themes. That is why it is vital for investors to harmonize their top-down strategies with active management and stock selection. Frontier technology and the AI revolution remain Fullerton's anchor investment themes and key sources of alpha, but active management across stock selections remains crucial. The impacts from AI and related technologies, along with demands across the metaverse, will have years to run, and the transformational impacts could unfold faster than anticipated. Fullerton has done a deep dive investment research paper into how new technology can feed through the macro economy to increase productivity, lower costs and inflation, and boost earnings. IT sector alpha remains very strong across key Asian markets like South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan, while China's IT alpha contribution is recovering in reaching 7% by April the 28th from 2% as at April 21st. Alpha from the US IT sector has faded this year, in part because a lot of good news has been priced in, and US IT sector alpha was so strong in 2025, plus 6%, and especially in 2024, plus 26%. We have explained that under our 4Rs investment theme, the AI revolution, there is a balancing act for seeking sustainable alpha, with positive forces for sector productivity and earnings, but disruptive forces for some sectors that may experience demand destruction and job losses. As a result, active management of stock selections remains crucial because everything that is AI/IT may not sustain strong returns. For example, returns from software-linked companies had sold off dramatically before staging some recovery, while most recently the demand for CPUs offering AI services has boomed after years of being eclipsed by graphics chips used in AI training. Subsequently, the share prices for several AI-related firms, that is Oracle, Arm Holdings, CoreWeave, and Japan's SoftBank Group, fell after reports that OpenAI had missed some key revenue targets in recent months, balanced with the announcement that the way was clear for OpenAI to forge new deals with other players beyond Microsoft. There is likely to be more scrutiny surrounding OpenAI for a while as it continues to lay the groundwork for an initial public offering that could value it up to $1 trillion. Amid other blockbuster initial public offerings, IPO, expected this year, such as Elon Musk's SpaceX. At the same time, some investors remain concerned about how some key players will fund data center aspirations. Note, company-specific details provided above for illustration purpose only and does not represent Fullerton's current view of the security or constitute any recommendation. As Fullerton has emphasized since last year, the IT sector has become much more competitive, globally interrelated and interdependent, which has seen extremely high alpha slip and some price actions causing spillover effects across the board, regardless of whether it's warranted or not from the fundamental perspective. US IT sector alpha may be coming back because its earnings expectations are now the highest ever above trend versus the market. The IT sector remains very dynamic, especially in the US, as realized earnings and growth expectations have surged further while valuations have corrected. Collectively, that is a bullish signal for investment returns ahead, and the market may be starting to price in another leg up in alpha, for example. Over April 2026, US IT sector returns rebounded by around 2x the market move. Our themes of manufacturing prowess, winners take all, and policy beneficiaries are all key elements of the sustained alpha being generated by global industrials. Commodity-linked equities, especially across utilities, reflecting energy pricing power, and the materials sector, have surged across Asia and Germany. The DM materials sector, led by Japan, has also benefited from rising market share, pricing power, robust global trade, and manufacturing demands. We continue to expect that DM equities will benefit further from robust earnings growth, as forward expectations are solid double digits, except for Japan, where we are more optimistic than the consensus. We believe Japan's market can become an even stronger source of alpha for investors, as the corporate sector continues to defend profitability with productivity gains. Consistent with the policy beneficiaries thematic, we are bullish on Germany's industrials, financials, and utilities, as they are all key benefactors of the positive sentiment on Germany's very large infrastructure stimulus and productivity rebuild. The US continues with one of the strongest productivity performances in the world, while its real unit production costs are falling, and corporate profits, as a share of GDP, have now reached the highest level ever recorded in US history, and the highest share of GDP in the world. the April risk-on rebound for the US has been led by the sectors that had been lagging the most this year. That is IT, consumerism, and communications. And these trends can continue as earnings growth is strong and valuations have become much less of a headwind. Asia ex Japan equities are outperforming DM, YTD, with very strong contributions from most markets. Across Asia, the countries we continue to like the most are Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and China, as they are sustaining attractive returns, and each market should continue to benefit from robust global demand, especially for IT and higher value-added manufacturing, strong earnings, solid export prices, and rising competitiveness. In addition, these markets across Asia are competitively valued versus the US and against other DM. The main drivers behind the sharp slide in MSCI Asia ex Japan valuation has been the dramatic surge in South Korea's earnings expectations, now tracking over 200% per annum growth for this year, and with China A at almost 30%. Strong earnings not fully priced in by the market and reflected in cheaper valuation can drive more upside for returns over time. The stellar performance of South Korea's equities continues, having completely dismissed the very poor performance of 2024, as companies have benefited significantly from many of the same positive re-rating drivers experienced across Asia. That is competitiveness gains and rising external demand. India equities may continue to lag the region as they do not benefit to the same degree from the strong external demand for technology and higher value added industrials. That said, active management can still find rewards because domestic demand-driven sector alpha has been significant. We also remain bullish on Singapore equities. We are bullish on Singapore equities as the key fundamentals of growth, liquidity, and credit collectively remain strong. Earnings growth may come close to double digits, which is significantly higher than average performance because of very low cost pressures, reflecting Singapore's productivity gains and low inflation. And with higher revenues driven by the global demand boon for high value added outputs. A Fullerton Special Spotlight. Let's make Singapore equities greater again. A 2-year stock take, 2024 to 2026. Strong fundamentals ignited the rally. Fullerton was right on the spot to read the shifting sentiment of Singapore's savvy investors as its survey of investors' opinion, 15th April 2024, revealed that Singapore equities were judged the key growth-driven financial asset to invest in. 2024 ultimately saw a significant repricing by the Singapore equity market. The STI, yay, index surged from 3,200 to 3,800 as it moved to catch up to higher earnings, dictated by productivity gains, investment, and robust economic activity. These strong fundamentals continued into 2025, as Singapore's policymakers then launched multiple initiatives designed to further enrich the equity market ecosystem. Upside enhanced by three core policy pillars. First, Singapore's government budget, February 18, 2025, passed important tax concessions to motivate the supply of new firms and fund managers to list on the SGX, to issue new shares, and to encourage more fund management activities, that is. A corporate income tax rebate for new primary listings and new secondary listings with share issuance. Under the Financial Sector Incentive Scheme, a concessionary tax rate for asset managers that list on the SGX. A tax exemption on fund managers' qualifying fee income for managing funds that invest substantially in SGX-listed equities. Second, the Equity Market Development Programme, EQDP, allocated capital to select fund managers, with the first batch announced by the Monetary Authority of Singapore, MAS, in July 2025, with the intention to help drive third-party investments, deepen equity market liquidity, and strengthen price discovery. On 6 October 2025, Fullerton Fund Management launched the first retail fund under the EQDP, Fullerton's Singapore Value Up Fund, which invests exclusively in Singapore-listed securities across a portfolio of 20 to 40 stocks. A key part of Fullerton's investment strategy is to uncover catalytic growth and harvest sustainable alpha. Such opportunities can be found across all market capitalization tiers, especially mid and small cap stocks, which are often under-owned segments of the market. Third, to further enhance the EQDP Value Up, the Minister for National Development and Deputy Chairman of MAS, Chee Hong Tat, outlined Value Unlock. The objective is to help Singapore-listed companies enhance shareholder returns by strengthening their capabilities, improving investor communications, and fostering collaborative networks. The Value Unlock initiative harmonized very well with Fullerton's investment focus, as it is actively engaged with the Singapore companies that it invests in to help them generate greater shareholder value over time. This may stem from further enhancements of the business model and greater optimization of the balance sheet. Improved profitability can often unfold from corporate actions such as restructuring, divestments, and share buybacks. A core enabler of Value Unlock is enhanced research coverage for eligible companies under the Grant for Equity Markets Singapore, GEMS, scheme, which aims to help firms communicate strategy more proactively to investors. The GEMS scheme also encourages investment research providers to help solve the problem that many fundamentally sound companies, especially across small and mid-caps, often have little or no research coverage, keeping them invisible and often undervalued. New listings surge. The STI index had increased from 3,800 to end 2025 at almost 4,700. By the end of 2025, there were 16 new listings on the SGX, and the total deal value reached about 3.2 billion Singapore dollars, the highest since 2019. The IPO pipeline continues to show signs of improvement, with at least 20 IPOs expected by analysts this year. The Anchor Fund to focus on fostering IPOs. In its February 2026 budget, the Singapore government announced another 1.5 billion Singapore dollars for the EQDP, taking it to 6.5 billion Singapore dollars. On 27 March 2026, the Ministry of Trade and Industry with Temasek announced that Fullerton Fund Management, along with 65 equity partners, would be a fund manager for the second 1.5 billion Singapore dollars tranche of the Anchor Fund. The intention is that the Anchor Fund will further strengthen the equity market ecosystem by supporting enterprises that are ready to raise capital in Singapore's public market, and to provide growth capital to companies on their path towards eventual IPO. This plays to Fullerton's strengths as a homegrown fund manager with over two decades of experience navigating financial markets, and with investor mobilization capabilities to participate in the public listings of leading growth enterprises. Further enhancing Brand Singapore, the SGX NASDAQ dual listing bridge. The initiative, 19 November 2025, can boost liquidity, and SGX-based stocks that were already NASDAQ-listed may gain spillover benefits going forward to the extent that it increases US investors' awareness of Singapore's attractive opportunities. Given the NASDAQ tie-up, direct benefits can unfold if SGX NASDAQ-listed companies seek to raise further capital. Likewise, Singapore companies interested in an IPO can list on both exchanges concurrently with a more streamlined regulatory process. This is an important advantage because a company may be large by Singapore standards but could be overwhelmed if listing on NASDAQ alone. Just as Singaporean firms can benefit from this initiative, it can also be a significant draw card over time for US IT companies. In particular, those that are significant by global standards, but perhaps less so relative to their NASDAQ peers. It can also be attractive for US companies that have significant links to Asia through customers or supply chains. Under the SGX's dual listing framework with NASDAQ, such US firms can better reach out to capital, liquidity, and investors in Singapore and across Asia. 2026 can still have more upside for investors. Into 2026, the STI index is touching 5,000, YTD returns are tracking 8% per annum, and Fullerton maintains its bullish outlook for the next 12 months for Singapore equities. Singapore's average performance since 2010 has been achieving 5% per annum earnings growth, 7% per annum nominal GDP growth, and 9% per annum equity returns. Fullerton believes that over time the sustained upside can come from improved earnings, while investor re-rating has always been an important driving factor, that is, as equity returns tend to be significantly higher than earnings growth. Most importantly, Singapore seems to be navigating the geopolitical stress created by the war in the Middle East very well. For example, almost all equity sectors are firing on all cylinders for investors in 2026. Equity Market Alpha, by END, April 2026, had broadened and deepened, with significant contributions from industrials, benefiting from robust external demand and productivity gains, financials, gaining from strong loan growth and non-interest incomes, and across communications and utilities, where cost controls have been important. Such strength for investors is unprecedented, as almost 90% of the market, based on the sum of the broad MSCI sector weights, is generating alpha, that is returns in excess of the aggregate market average. Singapore is also benefiting from significant capital inflows from foreign investors, as the currency is strong and inflation is expected to remain contained. Growth has slowed, but is still strong. Singapore's GDP growth is estimated to have slowed back significantly in Q126 to 4.6% YOY. But an understandable correction given the very strong 5.7% YOY growth for Q425. What remains positive for the investment outlook is consensus earnings growth expectations are a solid 7% per annum this year and 8% per annum in 2027. Reaching high single-digit earnings growth would be a robust achievement for Singapore, as it would be significantly stronger than its GDP growth, is well above the average earnings growth performance from the past, and is consistent with the dominant weight on financials in the market. Section 3. Fixed income. Sustainably higher yields are positive, but the cycle keeps active management more critical than ever. Our core investment theme remains the Great Reset, where this realpolitik world results in the discount factor for all risk asset returns, the bond yield, repricing across key markets to settle at levels not seen since before the GFC 2008-09. Such yields are higher than many investors are accustomed to, but they can be rewarding and may be a fairer reflection of the risks associated with leverage and geopolitical uncertainties. With the war in the Middle East, bond markets have lurched from worries about high inflation, that is rising yields, falling bond returns, toward fears that economic activity will fall with the adverse global supply shock, that is falling yields, rising bond returns. For investors, it reinforces just how crucial active management remains, because fixed income returns can cycle painfully, even if underpinned by higher than otherwise interest rates. We remain positive on global sovereign bonds and Asia credits. For US monetary conditions, we believe one rate cut is feasible in 2026, with limited scope for bearish yield curve steepening given the improved US fiscal and current account balances. China remains an anchor of stability for investors across Asia, and some modest RMB appreciation may be accommodated. Macro and bottom-up fundamentals across the region remain resilient and supportive to Asian credits. But opportunities are becoming more expensive. We expect Singapore rates to remain resilient, as the slowdown in its liquidity growth has helped ease some downside pressures. For Singapore credits, we anticipate tight supply-side issuance, which should support returns for investors. What also remains an important driver is the ongoing safe haven inflows, given Singapore's strong currency and very low default risks. For emerging market EM credit, we are neutral and only consider defensive positioning across economies with attractive real rates and less correlation to US macro. US PCE inflation should peak in Q2 at around 3-3.5% per annum with the surge in oil prices. The Fed will settle its leadership regime change with Kevin Warsh, and then data-dependent rate cuts are still much more likely than hikes. Strong US productivity growth, coupled with investment in AI and technologies, continues to push down real unit production costs. This should continue to give significant cushion against any sustained high inflation, especially if driven by excess demand. We continue to believe the Fed can follow its forward guidance, and data-dependent rate cuts are still much more likely than hikes. The Fed's policy rate is 3.75% per annum, and the forward market, as at 27th April, prices in 3.5% by December 2026 through to July 2027. In harmony with Fullerton's expectation, the forward market only expects one rate cut this year, and the Global Investor Fund Manager Survey by BOA suggests similar expectations. Most importantly, the Fed signaled that the war in the Middle East would not hurt the US economy, and that view is most likely to remain with the new Fed Chair, Kevin Warsh. When the Fed presented its forecasts on the 18th of March, it did not foresee any significant stress unfolding from the war in the Middle East on the US economy. Even after almost 3 weeks of fighting and its own US inflation now cast surging well above 3% per annum, the Fed did not signal any sustained high inflation, with its outlook showing PCE inflation ending 2026 at 2.7% per annum and then falling further to 2.2% per annum next year. Under the war scenario, the Fed signaled at least one rate cut this year, with its assumed policy rate of 3.4% by December 2026. The Fed did revise up its 2026 inflation outlook from 2.4% per annum in December 2025 to 2.7% per annum March 2026 because of the surge in oil prices. However, this shift was not alarming, being on par with consensus shifts, and the Fed had simply reverted to its inflation outlook from September 2025, suggesting that the cut it had made to the 2026 inflation outlook in December was premature. The Fed under Chairman Kevin Warsh will likely be a significant regime shift. We explained the potential regime shift in Fed policy in detail in our Q1 2026 Fullerton Investment Views. Kevin Warsh, now likely to take the FOMC chair on May 16th, believes US trend growth is much higher than common assumptions. The enhanced supply side, especially with falling unit costs of production, potentially extended further with investment and IT/AI, means that inflation can be easier to control than otherwise. As such, the Fed's assumption on its long-term neutral policy rate can be lower than otherwise. It is assumed to be 3.1% per annum in the March 18, 2026 Fed forecast, and productivity competitiveness gains can support a gradual trend appreciation in the US dollar. That is, Kevin Warsh's US dollar view is the same as that of Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessent. Any further US dollar depreciation may be modest and slow. The unsupportive US yield differential remains well priced in to the US dollar, which suggests any downside may be limited for now. Fundamental valuation metrics show that the US dollar DXY index is undervalued for the first time this cycle, largely because significant positive terms of trade effects have not been fully reflected in US dollar strength. The Singapore dollar should remain strong, Fullerton believes that the Singapore dollar can remain strong as it continues its cycling around the top of the Monetary Authority of Singapore's MAS, policy band currency basket. Against the US dollar, which has the largest weight in the policy basket, it may remain broadly stable, as the MAS is likely to not want policy to be too tight for too long, such that inflation is too low or that growth falls sharply. The risk of the latter is likely to be more concerning to policymakers at this juncture, as even with the booming global trade backdrop, the Singapore economy contracted in Q1 2026. Gold prices have proved a good hedge for geopolitical shocks. Gold has proved a very useful hedge in a balanced portfolio, especially against geopolitical fears, but it often depends on US dollar weakness. What has been a different driver with the war in the Middle East is that because the value of US energy exports have surged, the value of the US dollar will be supported. Disclaimer: no offer or invitation is considered to be made if such offer is not authorized or permitted. This is not the basis for any contract to deal in any security or instrument, or for Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN 20031267 2W, Fullerton, or its affiliates to enter into or arrange any type of transaction. Any investments made are not obligations of, deposits in, or guaranteed by Fullerton. The information contained herein has been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but has not been independently verified. Although Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN 20031267 2W, Fullerton, believes it to be fair and not misleading, such information is solely indicative and may be subject to modification from time to time. The contents herein may be amended without notice. Fullerton, its affiliates and their directors and employees do not accept any liability from the use of this publication. Neither MSCI nor any other party involved in or related to compiling, computing or creating the MSCI data makes any express or implied warranties or representations with respect to such data or the results to be obtained by the use thereof. And all such parties hereby expressly disclaim all warranties of originality, accuracy, completeness, merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose with respect to any of such data. Without limiting any of the foregoing, in no event shall MSCI, any of its affiliates or any third party involved in or related to compiling, computing or creating the data have any liability for any direct, indirect, special, punitive, consequential or any other damages, including lost profits, even if notified of the possibility of such damages. No further distribution or dissemination of the MSCI data is permitted without MSCI's express written consent. Executive summary. The war in the Middle East is a significant shock and has dominated investors' fears over the last couple of months. We still have no clarity on when the war will end, and bouts of high volatility could strike back at any time. Nevertheless, Fullerton will keep calm and carry on with a bullish outlook for the year ahead under our 4Rs investment thematic, as we see many favourable signposts across global markets. Fullerton assesses that the underlying drivers of strong earnings growth will not be derailed because the equity sell-off has been very mild considering the intensity of the war and how reliant many countries are on imported energy. Global exceptionalism can be sustained as across most markets, earnings growth expectations continue to be revised up, and valuations have fallen from peaks, which can collectively drive higher investment returns. Throughout this war, the market has always expected oil prices to fall back over time, and this downward sloping futures curve is a very positive belief that the global economy can avoid any painful collapse in demand. Fullerton's analysis suggests that the most productive countries and those with adaptable energy supply chains should continue to navigate this war-driven adverse supply shock very well. The US, Germany, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, and Singapore all have fundamental strengths that can help them defend growth and avoid stagflation. Additional dry powder for investing, which can contribute to higher returns, can stem from very strong balance sheets across households and firms, and from ongoing policy stimulus across the G4 countries. Combined with investors' risk appetite holding up, as we have seen, it continues to support the first of our four R's, thematic, where returns on capital can be high. The signal from Fullerton's investment environment model is maturing into late cycle, but Goldilocks is also rising back in its probability. This can be a win-win for investors because returns can be very favourable under either regime. For the next 12 months, Fullerton is bullish on global risk assets driven by Asia, that is Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan and China, and developed market, that is US, Japan and Germany, equities, with a positive outlook for fixed income returns. Section 1. Investment Environment and Risk Asset Outlook. On April the 21st, 2026, President Trump announced that the US would extend the ceasefire and maintain the economic pressure on Iran with the US Navy's blockade of Iran's seaborne trade flows. President Trump then stated that Iran's latest peace deal offering was not acceptable without elaborating on its details. That leaves both sides of the two-month-old war in the Middle East in a holding pattern while the Strait of Hormuz remains effectively shut. The war in the Middle East is a significant shock and has driven fear across markets. Fullerton will keep calm and carry on with a bullish outlook for the year ahead. The war in the Middle East is a significant shock and has driven fear across markets. We have no clarity on when the war will end, and bouts of high volatility could strike back at any time. Nevertheless, Fullerton will keep calm and carry on with a bullish outlook for the year ahead, as we see many favourable signposts for investors. First and foremost, Fullerton believes that the underlying drivers of strong earnings growth will not be overturned because productivity remains strong. Higher inflation is expected to be temporary because of the outlook for oil prices, and the equity sell-off has been very mild considering the intensity of the war. The drivers of global exceptionalism that we have emphasized since last year can continue as earnings growth expectations push higher and as valuations have fallen back from peaks, which can collectively support higher asset returns. Even as geopolitical fears surged on February 28, 2026, the start of the war in the Middle East ranks as the worst act since the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on the US, investors can take significant comfort in that the fear index, that is the S&P 500 VIX, has fallen back sharply toward normality. Fullerton does not believe the market is mistakenly pricing in a swift end to the war in the Middle East. Rather, the market is sanguine because of favourable fundamentals. Throughout this war, the market has always expected oil prices to fall back over time, and this downward-sloping futures curve is a very positive belief that the global economy can avoid any painful collapse in demand. Many commentators, notably the IEA, have said that the war in the Middle East is the largest energy crisis in history. But in terms of its pricing impacts, that ultimately matter the most to global economic activity and financial markets, it is far from being that painful. The first half of 2008, with a peak by July, is the worst oil shock in history, as extremely strong energy demand resulted in oil prices soaring to $150 per barrel, which is $200 per barrel in today's money. What also made the 2008 shock much worse was that the forward-looking market never expected oil prices to ever fall back down. With extremely high oil prices and no price relief expected, events certainly contributed to the very painful global recession of 2008. In stark contrast, the forward-looking profile for oil prices today is not that much different from a couple of years ago, especially at horizons beyond 6 months, which is very positive for economic activity. Longer-term oil prices cannot be too low, otherwise the strong economic motivation to diversify more toward cleaner energy will stall. There are many reasons not to be pessimistic about the investment environment. Some investors push back and suggest that the market is mistakenly pricing in a swift ending to the war in the Middle East, but that seems unlikely simply because no one has any idea when the hostilities will be resolved. Instead, the market may be sustaining its positive outlook because of the following seven key developments. There is much greater efficiencies in the use of global energy than in the past, along with the rising importance of cleaner energy demand. Global oil supply growth was much stronger than demand growth before the Middle East war started. Middle East exports over March 2026 did not fall by as much as many feared, because Oman, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates can bypass the Strait of Hormuz via pipelines and ports. For example, Saudi Arabia, the largest oil exporter in the world, suffered a moderate fall in exports during March of 1.5 million barrels per day compared to March 2025, while maintaining its production at typical levels, around 9 million barrels per day. US total energy product exports have been very strong, as at 23rd April 2026, they are 2.9 million barrels per day higher than a year ago, which is much greater than the fall in exports from Saudi Arabia. The US is likely to have shifted to become the second largest oil exporter in the world, passing Russia, while maintaining its spot as the most significant global exporter of LNG. LNG supply is especially important for Asia, and in that regard, some key events since the war in the Middle East began have been positive for markets and investors, for example. The US has been the dominant driver of boosting global LNG capacity, and buying LNG from the US could give favorable and below Asia benchmark prices, because the opportunity cost for a US supplier not to export is very high. As a significant sign of strength, Singapore pledged that it will not ration any of its energy exports. Singapore also signed a protocol on economic resilience and essential supplies, with Australia to keep the two-way energy trade flowing. The threat of significant spillover effects into generalized inflation is much less than the past, and especially much less than the painful stagflation of 2022, because money growth today is much weaker. The prospect that high inflation, driven by oil and gas prices, proves temporary is also supported by inflation expectations across the US bond market, that its key metrics have understandably jumped to 3 to 3.5% per annum, along with the inflation nowcast, but 1 year 1 year and 2 years 2 years, forward expectations remain anchored around 2.5% per annum. The war in the Middle East still remains an energy-centric shock, and there is limited adverse spillover impacts into other key commodities, especially agriculture prices, nor any significant supply chain stress so far. Unlike the very painful global stagflation shock of 2022, global supply chains are now much more flexible and entered this war scenario with very low stress hurdles and bottlenecks. Lastly, because around 80% of global energy seaborne flows never transit the Strait of Hormuz and are busier than ever. Aside from driving a boon for US energy exporters, it has also proved beneficial for major Asian refiners, especially across South Korea, Japan, Thailand, Taiwan, and Singapore, as they have been buying significantly more US crude since last year to further diversify feedstock suppliers and to improve margins. With this war in the Middle East, investors have been very well rewarded, YTD, with strong alpha gains from exposure to energy sector equities across Japan, China, and the US. In summary, Fullerton's analysis suggests that the most productive countries and those with adaptable energy supply chains should continue to navigate this war-driven adverse supply shock very well. The US, Germany, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, and Singapore all have fundamental strengths that can help them defend growth and avoid stagflation. additional dry powder for investing, which can contribute to higher returns, can stem from very strong balance sheets across households and firms, and from ongoing policy stimulus from China, Germany, the US, and Japan. A key concern for investors is the risk that stress across private markets, especially private credit, could drive a crash in public markets. Fullerton is watching signposts across private markets, especially private credit conditions, very closely. In terms of investment returns, private markets may be past the worst, but could still lag public markets. For example, McKinsey has noted that conditions are likely to remain uneven. Deal-making has been tepid, while fundraising across all asset classes hit its lowest levels in almost a decade last year. Fullerton's assessment aligns with that from the IMF. Private markets, especially private credit, may become an amplifier of shocks because of tight bank/non-bank linkages, but not a channel for systemic stress. Bouts of high volatility could strike back at any time, so active management remains critical to defend gains. Just like Liberation Day last year, events continue to be disruptive to global investor confidence, but they have not derailed the bullish investment environment. Furthermore, many events may actually enhance global exceptionalism by building diversification beyond US risk assets and creating new investment opportunities. Fullerton has shown evidence before that when geopolitical shocks hit, any adverse impacts can be limited, or in the worst case, temporary disruptions, before markets return to underlying trends. The optimal way to navigate all potential stresses remains active management of a well-diversified portfolio and to seek downside protection when risks hit. Fullerton's global factors that drive investment returns are bullish. Global growth and liquidity, led by the US and China, remain the strongest above trend for this cycle. Global growth is very strong, and its latest push higher, to more than one standard deviation above average growth, has been driven by the surge in global exports. At the same time, global inflation is below trend, but we know it is going to jump significantly because of the surge in oil prices. The investment environment can remain bullish for investors as long as global growth remains strong, with risk appetite being solidly positive, and with inflation being contained. That is, high inflation should fall back with ongoing productivity gains, and as the spike in oil prices eventually corrects. Nominal GDP growth, which tends to have a solid correlation with corporate earnings performance, is tracking at least 4-5% per annum for most countries. Growth in global manufacturing is holding around its trend, while growth in global trade has had a massive surge, driven mostly by Asia. Outside of the pre-buying distortion around the COVID-driven recession, global trade growth into 2026 is its strongest since 2010. This extreme growth in global exports will not be sustained into the second half of 2026, but nevertheless, growth is likely to fall back and settle above trend because the demand from DM, coupled with intra-Asia trade, has shifted to a higher gear with the IT and investment boon. Since the war in the Middle East began, significant downward pressures on global growth have not emerged, as daily economic activity data have generally surprised consensus expectations on the upside, ex-Europe. This should continue to reduce the risk of stagflation and provide a helpful cushion for earnings growth across key markets going forward. Money and liquidity growth, along with bank loans in the US, remains consistent with strong economic activity and spending across key countries. However, because of some possible crowding out from the strength of the Main Street economy, there may be less than otherwise excess liquidity for risk-taking. All that said, as we have emphasized for a while, there may still be significant supports from additional dry powder for investing given very strong balance sheets across households and firms and from ongoing policy stimulus across the G4 countries. When we combine the four global macro factors together, Fullerton's investment regime indicator is maturing into late cycle, But Goldilocks is also rising back in its probability. This can be a win-win for investors because returns can be very favorable under either regime. For the 12 months ahead, Fullerton is bullish on global risk assets, driven by Asia and DM equities, with a positive outlook for fixed income returns. Section 2. Equities. The worst is likely past, and global exceptionalism and bullishness are back on track. Investor flows and sentiment have been risk-on since the end of March, and almost all equity markets have gained back the losses associated with stagflation fears surrounding the war in the Middle East. Even with some possible slippage from the adverse impacts of the war in the Middle East, Fullerton believes that global GDP and earnings growth should remain strong. The US can lead DM with earnings growth reaching around 20% PA in 2026, while Asia ex-Japan is tracking 50% PA, driven by large contributions from South Korea, Taiwan, and China. Given our regular global investment themes, it is critical for investors to appreciate that finding alpha will not be solely about US exceptionalism. Firms rising to the top of their peer group will be driven by productivity, enhanced earnings, rising investment, and sustained demand. These creative leaders will be found across many different sectors and countries. Most importantly, the leading sources of alpha by sector so far this year continue to align very well with many of Fullerton's investment themes. That is why it is vital for investors to harmonize their top-down strategies with active management and stock selection. Frontier technology and the AI revolution remain Fullerton's anchor investment themes and key sources of alpha. But active management across stock selections remains crucial. The impacts from AI and related technologies, along with demands across the metaverse, will have years to run, and the transformational impacts could unfold faster than anticipated. Fullerton has done a deep dive investment research paper into how new technology can feed through the macro economy to increase productivity, lower costs and inflation, and boost earnings. IT sector alpha remains very strong across key Asian markets like South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. While China's IT alpha contribution is recovering, in reaching 7% by April 28th, from 2% as at April 21st. Alpha from the US IT sector has faded this year, in part because a lot of good news has been priced in, and US IT sector alpha was so strong in 2025, plus 6%, and especially in 2024, plus 26%. We have explained that under our 4Rs investment theme, the AI revolution, there is a balancing act for seeking sustainable alpha, with positive forces for sector productivity and earnings, but disruptive forces for some sectors that may experience demand destruction and job losses. As a result, active management of stock selections remains crucial because everything that is AI/IT may not sustain strong returns. For example, returns from software-linked companies had sold off dramatically before staging some recovery, while most recently the demand for CPUs offering AI services has boomed after years of being eclipsed by graphics chips used in AI training. Subsequently, the share prices for several AI-related firms, that is Oracle, Arm Holdings, CoreWeave, and Japan's SoftBank Group, fell after reports that OpenAI had missed some key revenue targets in recent months, balanced with the announcement that the way was clear for OpenAI to forge new deals with other players beyond Microsoft. There is likely to be more scrutiny surrounding OpenAI for a while, as it continues to lay the groundwork for an initial public offering that could value it up to $1 trillion, amid other blockbuster initial public offerings, IPO, expected this year, such as Elon Musk's SpaceX. At the same time, some investors remain concerned about how some key players will fund data center aspirations. Note, company-specific details provided above for illustration purpose only and does not represent Fullerton's current view of the security or constitute any recommendation. As Fullerton has emphasized since last year, the IT sector has become much more competitive, globally interrelated, and interdependent, which has seen extremely high alpha slip and some price actions causing spillover effects across the board, regardless of whether it's warranted or not from the fundamental perspective. US IT sector alpha may be coming back because its earnings expectations are now the highest ever above trend versus the market. The IT sector remains very dynamic, especially in the US, as realized earnings and growth expectations have surged further while valuations have corrected. Collectively, that is a bullish signal for investment returns ahead, and the market may be starting to price in another leg up in alpha, for example, over April 2026. US IT sector returns rebounded by around 2x the market move. Our themes of manufacturing prowess, winners take all, and policy beneficiaries are all key elements of the sustained alpha being generated by global industrials. Commodity-linked equities, especially across utilities, reflecting energy pricing power, and the materials sector, have surged across Asia and Germany. The DM materials sector, led by Japan, has also benefited from rising market share, pricing power, robust global trade, and manufacturing demands. We continue to expect that DM equities will benefit further from robust earnings growth, as forward expectations are solid double digits, except for Japan, where we are more optimistic than the consensus. We believe Japan's market can become an even stronger source of alpha for investors, as the corporate sector continues to defend profitability with productivity gains. Consistent with the policy beneficiaries thematic, we are bullish on Germany's industrials, financials, and utilities, as they are all key benefactors of the positive sentiment on Germany's very large infrastructure stimulus and productivity rebuild. The US continues with one of the strongest productivity performances in the world, while its real unit production costs are falling, and corporate profits, as a share of GDP, have now reached the highest level ever recorded in US history and the highest share of GDP in the world. The April risk-on rebound for the US has been led by the sectors that had been lagging the most this year, that is IT, consumerism, and communications. And these trends can continue as earnings growth is strong and valuations have become much less of a headwind. Asia ex-Japan equities are outperforming DM/YTD with very strong contributions from most markets. Across Asia, the countries we continue to like the most are Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and China, as they are sustaining attractive returns, and each market should continue to benefit from robust global demand, especially for IT and higher value-added manufacturing, strong earnings, solid export prices, and rising competitiveness. In addition, these markets across Asia are competitively valued versus the US and against other DM. The main drivers behind the sharp slide in MSCI Asia ex-Japan valuation has been the dramatic surge in South Korea's earnings expectations, now tracking over 200% per annum growth for this year, and with China A at almost 30%. Strong earnings not fully priced in by the market and reflected in cheaper valuation can drive more upside for returns over time. The stellar performance of South Korea's equities continues, having completely dismissed the very poor performance of 2024, as companies have benefited significantly from many of the same positive re-rating drivers experienced across Asia. That is competitiveness gains and rising external demand. India equities may continue to lag the region as they do not benefit to the same degree from the strong external demand for technology and higher value-added industrials. That said, active management can still find rewards because domestic demand-driven sector alpha has been significant. We also remain bullish on Singapore equities. We are bullish on Singapore equities as the key fundamentals of growth, liquidity, and credit collectively remain strong. earnings growth may come close to double digits, which is significantly higher than average performance because of very low cost pressures, reflecting Singapore's productivity gains and low inflation, and with higher revenues driven by the global demand boon for high-value added outputs. A Fullerton Special Spotlight. Let's make Singapore equities greater again, a two-year stock take, 2024 to 2026. Strong fundamentals ignited the rally. Fullerton was right on the spot to read the shifting sentiment of Singapore's savvy investors, as its survey of investors' opinion, 15th April 2024, revealed that Singapore equities were judged the key growth-driven financial asset to invest in. 2024 ultimately saw a significant repricing by the Singapore equity market. The STI index surged from 3,200 to 3,800 as it moved to catch up to higher earnings, dictated by productivity gains, investment, and robust economic activity. These strong fundamentals continued into 2025, as Singapore's policymakers then launched multiple initiatives designed to further enrich the equity market ecosystem. Upside enhanced by three core policy pillars. First, Singapore's government budget, February 18, 2025, passed important tax concessions to motivate the supply of new firms and fund managers to list on the SGX, to issue new shares, and to encourage more fund management activities, that is. A corporate income tax rebate for new primary listings and new secondary listings with share issuance. Under the Financial Sector Incentive Scheme, a concessionary tax rate for asset managers that list on the SGX. A tax exemption on fund managers' qualifying fee income for managing funds that invest substantially in SGX-listed equities. Second, the Equity Market Development Programme, EQDP, allocated capital to select fund managers, with the first batch announced by the Monetary Authority of Singapore, MAS, in July 2025, with the intention to help drive third-party investments, deepen equity market liquidity, and strengthen price discovery. On 6th October 2025, Fullerton Fund Management launched the first retail fund under the EQDP. Fullerton's Singapore Value Up Fund, which invests exclusively in Singapore-listed securities across a portfolio of 20 to 40 stocks. A key part of Fullerton's investment strategy is to uncover catalytic growth and harvest sustainable alpha. Such opportunities can be found across all market capitalization tiers, especially mid- and small-cap stocks, which are often under-owned segments of the market. Third, to further enhance the EQDP value up, the Minister for National Development and Deputy Chairman of MAS, Chi Hong Tat, outlined Value Unlock. The objective is to help Singapore-listed companies enhance shareholder returns by strengthening their capabilities, improving investor communications, and fostering collaborative networks. The Value Unlock initiative harmonized very well with Fullerton's investment focus, as it is actively engaged with the Singapore companies that it invests in to help them generate greater shareholder value over time. This may stem from further enhancements of the business model and greater optimization of the balance sheet. Improved profitability can often unfold from corporate actions, such as restructuring, divestments, and share buybacks. A core enabler of Value Unlock is enhanced research coverage for eligible companies under the Grant for Equity Market Singapore, GEMS scheme, which aims to help firms communicate strategy more proactively to investors. The GEMS scheme also encourages investment research providers to help solve the problem that many fundamentally sound companies, especially across small and mid-caps, often have little or no research coverage, keeping them invisible and often undervalued. New listings surge. the STI index had increased from 3,800 to end 2025 at almost 4,700. By the end of 2025, there were 16 new listings on the SGX, and the total deal value reached about 3.2 billion Singapore dollars, the highest since 2019. The IPO pipeline continues to show signs of improvement, with at least 20 IPOs expected by analysts this year, the anchor fund to focus on fostering IPOs. In its February 2026 budget, the Singapore government announced another 1.5 billion Singapore dollars for the EQDP, taking it to 6.5 billion Singapore dollars. On 27 March 2026, the Ministry of Trade and Industry with Temasek announced that Fullerton Fund Management, along with 65 equity partners, would be a fund manager for the second 1.5 billion Singapore dollars tranche of the Anchor Fund. The intention is that the Anchor Fund will further strengthen the equity market ecosystem by supporting enterprises that are ready to raise capital in Singapore's public market, and to provide growth capital to companies on their path towards eventual IPO. This plays to Fullerton's strengths as a homegrown fund manager with over two decades of experience navigating financial markets, and with investor mobilization capabilities to participate in the public listings of leading growth enterprises. Further enhancing Brand Singapore, the SGX NASDAQ dual listing bridge. The initiative, 19 November 2025, can boost liquidity, and SGX-based stocks that were already NASDAQ-listed may gain spillover benefits going forward, to the extent that it increases US investors' awareness of Singapore's attractive opportunities. Given the NASDAQ tie-up, direct benefits can unfold if SGX-NASDAQ-listed companies seek to raise further capital. Likewise, Singapore companies interested in an IPO can list on both exchanges concurrently with a more streamlined regulatory process. This is an important advantage because a company may be large by Singapore standards but could be overwhelmed if listing on NASDAQ alone. Just as Singaporean firms can benefit from this initiative, it can also be a significant draw card over time for US IT companies, in particular those that are significant by global standards, but perhaps less so relative to their NASDAQ peers. It can also be attractive for US companies that have significant links to Asia through customers or supply chains. Under the SGX's dual listing framework with NASDAQ, such US firms can better reach out to capital, liquidity, and investors in Singapore and across Asia. 2026 can still have more upside for investors. Into 2026, the STI index is touching 5,000, YTD returns are tracking 8% per annum, and Fullerton maintains its bullish outlook for the next 12 months for Singapore equities. Singapore's average performance since 2010 has been achieving 5% per annum earnings growth, 7% per annum nominal GDP growth, and 9% per annum equity returns. Fullerton believes that over time the sustained upside can come from improved earnings, while investor re-rating has always been an important driving factor. That is, as equity returns tend to be significantly higher than earnings growth. Most importantly, Singapore seems to be navigating the geopolitical stress created by the war in the Middle East very well. For example, almost all equity sectors are firing on all cylinders for investors in 2026. Equity market alpha, by end April 2026, had broadened and deepened, with significant contributions from industrials, benefiting from robust external demand and productivity gains, financials, gaining from strong loan growth and non-interest incomes, and across communications and utilities, where cost controls have been important. Such strength for investors is unprecedented, as almost 90% of the market, based on the sum of the broad MSCI sector weights, is generating alpha that is returns in excess of the aggregate market average. Singapore is also benefiting from significant capital inflows from foreign investors as the currency is strong and inflation is expected to remain contained. Growth has slowed but is still strong. Singapore's GDP growth is estimated to have slowed back significantly in Q1 26 to 4.6% YAAY, but an understandable correction given the very strong 5.7% YOY growth for Q4 25. What remains positive for the investment outlook is consensus earnings growth expectations are a solid 7% per annum this year and 8% per annum in 2027. Reaching high single-digit earnings growth would be a robust achievement for Singapore, as it would be significantly stronger than its GDP growth, is well above the average earnings growth performance from the past, and is consistent with the dominant weight on financials in the market. Section 3. Fixed income. Sustainably higher yields are positive, but the cycle keeps active management more critical than ever. Our core investment theme remains the Great Reset, where this realpolitik world results in the discount factor for all risk asset returns, the bond yield, repricing across key markets to settle at levels not seen since before the GFC 2008/09. Such yields are higher than many investors are accustomed to, but they can be rewarding and may be a fairer reflection of the risks associated with leverage and geopolitical uncertainties. With the war in the Middle East, bond markets have lurched from worries about high inflation, that is rising yields, falling bond returns, toward fears that economic activity will fall with the adverse global supply shock, that is falling yields, rising bond returns. For investors, it reinforces just how crucial active management remains, because fixed income returns can cycle painfully, even if underpinned by higher than otherwise interest rates. We remain positive on global sovereign bonds and Asia credits. For US monetary conditions, we believe one rate cut is feasible in 2026, with limited scope for bearish yield curve steepening given the improved US fiscal and current account balances. China remains an anchor of stability for investors across Asia, and some modest RMB appreciation may be accommodated. Macro and bottom-up fundamentals across the region remain resilient and supportive to Asian credits, but opportunities are becoming more expensive. We expect Singapore rates to remain resilient, as the slowdown in its liquidity growth has helped ease some downside pressures. For Singapore credits, we anticipate tight supply-side issuance, which should support returns for investors. What also remains an important driver is the ongoing safe haven inflows, given Singapore's strong currency and very low default risks. For emerging market, EM credit, we are neutral and only consider defensive positioning across economies with attractive real rates and less correlation to US macro. US PCE inflation should peak in Q2 at around 3 to 3.5% per annum with the surge in oil prices. The Fed will settle its leadership regime change with Kevin Warsh, and then data-dependent rate cuts are still much more likely than hikes. Strong US productivity growth, coupled with investment in AI and technologies, continues to push down real unit production costs. This should continue to give significant cushion against any sustained high inflation, especially if driven by excess demand. We continue to believe the Fed can follow its forward guidance and data-dependent rate cuts are still much more likely than hikes. The Fed's policy rate is 3.75% per annum, and the forward market, as at 27th April, prices in 3.5% by December 2026 through to July 2027. In harmony with Fullerton's expectation, the forward market only expects one rate cut this year, and the Global Investor Fund Manager Survey by BOA suggests similar expectations. Most importantly, the Fed signaled that the war in the Middle East would not hurt the US economy, and that view is most likely to remain with the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh. When the Fed presented its forecasts on the 18th of March, it did not foresee any significant stress unfolding from the war in the Middle East on the US economy. Even after almost 3 weeks of fighting and its own US inflation now cast surging well above 3% per annum, the Fed did not signal any sustained high inflation, with its outlook showing PCE inflation ending 2026 at 2.7% per annum and then falling further to 2.2% per annum next year. Under the war scenario, the Fed signalled at least one rate cut this year with its assumed policy rate of 3.4% by December 2026. The Fed did revise up its 2026 inflation outlook from 2.4% per annum in December 2025 to 2.7% per annum, March 2026, because of the surge in oil prices. However, this shift was not alarming, being on par with consensus shifts, and the Fed had simply reverted to its inflation outlook from September 2025, suggesting that the cut it had made to the 2026 inflation outlook in December was premature. The Fed under Chairman Kevin Warsh will likely be a significant regime shift. We explained the potential regime shift in Fed policy in detail in our Q1 2026 Fullerton Investment Views. Kevin Warsh, now likely to take the FOMC chair on May 16th, believes US trend growth is much higher than common assumptions. The enhanced supply side, especially with falling unit costs of production, potentially extended further with investment and IT/AI, means that inflation can be easier to control than otherwise. As such, the Fed's assumption on its long-term neutral policy rate can be lower than otherwise. It is assumed to be 3.1% per annum in the 18th of March 2026 Fed forecasts, and productivity competitiveness gains can support a gradual trend appreciation in the US dollar. That is, Kevin Warsh's US dollar view is the same as that of Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessent. Any further US dollar depreciation may be modest and slow. The unsupportive US yield differential remains well priced in to the US dollar, which suggests any downside may be limited for now. Fundamental valuation metrics show that the US dollar DXY index is undervalued for the first time this cycle, largely because significant positive terms of trade effects have not been fully reflected in US dollar strength. The Singapore dollar should remain strong. Fullerton believes that the Singapore dollar can remain strong as it continues its cycling around the top of the Monetary Authority of Singapore's MAS, policy band currency basket. Against the US dollar, which has the largest weight in the policy basket, it may remain broadly stable as the MAS is likely to not want policy to be too tight for too long, such that inflation is too low or that growth falls sharply. The risk of the latter is likely to be more concerning to policymakers at this juncture, as even with the booming global trade backdrop, the Singapore economy contracted in Q1 2026. Gold prices have proved a good hedge for geopolitical shocks. Gold has proved a very useful hedge in a balanced portfolio, especially against geopolitical fears, but it often depends on US dollar weakness. What has been a different driver with the war in the Middle East is that because the value of US energy exports have surged, the value of the US dollar will be supported. Disclaimer, no offer or invitation is considered to be made if such offer is not authorized or permitted. This is not the basis for any contract to deal in any security or instrument, or for Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN, 20031267 2W, Fullerton, or its affiliates to enter into or arrange any type of transaction. Any investments made are not obligations of, deposits in, or guaranteed by Fullerton. The information contained herein has been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but has not been independently verified, although Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN, 20031267 2W, Fullerton, believes it to be fair and not misleading, Such information is solely indicative and may be subject to modification from time to time. The contents herein may be amended without notice. Fullerton, its affiliates and their directors and employees do not accept any liability from the use of this publication. Neither MSCI nor any other party involved in or related to compiling, computing or creating. The MSCI data makes any express or implied warranties or representations with respect to such data, or the results to be obtained by the use thereof. And all such parties hereby expressly disclaim all warranties of originality, accuracy, completeness, merchantability, or fitness for a particular purpose with respect to any of such data. Without limiting any of the foregoing, in no event shall MSCI, any of its affiliates, or any third party involved in or related to compiling, computing, or creating the data have any liability for any direct, indirect, special, punitive, consequential, or any other damages, including lost profits, even if notified of the possibility of such damages. No further distribution or dissemination of the MSCI data is permitted without MSCI's express written consent.